some of the end of the message is. And that last song, the biggest memory I have out of that whole song was one of the, right after my dad got diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, he came here. And as soon as that song started playing, he came and got on the altar. And I remember at the end of that service, I was standing in my office, and I was looking out as my dad was going across the parking lot, and God said, go tell him you love him and hug him, and I did. And as I was going out the parking lot, I hugged him, and he said, son, it's going to be okay. I know Jesus. I've known him since I got saved, and I've been living for him. Everything's going to turn out all right, even if it doesn't turn out all right. He said, you can always have confidence, whether I live or whether I die, that Jesus is in control. As I watched my dad pass away, totally out of his mind, he looked at us and he said, walk for Jesus. So when he sung that song this morning, it just took me all the way back to that place. And as I felt the Holy Spirit reach for me, I see Peyton's on the altar. It's just so much. There's so much going on here. It's bigger than us. God's moving in a lot of different areas in the church this morning. So don't just sit here and wait for something religious to happen to you. God's in here. And you're not a part of this crowd by mistake. So, man. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. I'm going to give you a verse out of Hebrews 9:27 first. The whole thought of this message is coming from a place of, I've had about 5 to 10 people come to me recently and share that they're kind of upset with God and mad at God. And they don't understand what God's doing. He's either taking somebody in their life away, somebody's dying that they care about, somebody who's dying that they love, and they don't understand it. And they're upset. And that could be anybody in this room and any time in your life where God seems like he's doing something to somebody who don't deserve what they're going through. And it's okay. I tell people all the time, it's all right to be upset with God. He's a big God. He can handle it. Amen. But be sure you're talking to him and hearing him, because he can heal you in that place. Hebrews 9:27 reads like this, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. God is such a big and awesome God that he tells us up front that everybody's going to die. Everybody in this room is going to die. Within 100 years, mostly everybody in this building will have passed on into eternity if the Lord doesn't come back. I always got to preface it with that. If you're concerned with people passing away of cancer, heart attacks, car accidents, young or old, infants all the way up to 99, if you're concerned about them passing away, and if you're sitting here a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, it is your job. Let me say it better. It is your opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them with tears and with compassion and with love, and to tell them, I care about where your soul goes. And you tell them that, so when you come to these places in life where people are dealing with life and death, you can have peace that they know who Jesus is. Where you can stand there and say without a shadow of a doubt, this dying is not death if you know Jesus. It's just a place you've got to go through before you really start living. Amen? Guys, I want to tell you something. We have done this wrong as the church. We get engaged with people when it's way too late. God gives you opportunities in people's lives, at family reunions, on the job, playing sports, fishing, hunting, life in general, for you to open your mouth and say, God loves you as much, if not more, than He loves me. And if He saved somebody like me, He would love to save somebody like you. And sometimes we think, but they will be so mad at me. They will be so aggravated with me. They won't have nothing to do with me. Can I tell you something that might hurt your feelings a little bit? It's not about you. It's about their soul. And nobody that's ever been saved wasn't saved by somebody sharing the gospel and having their feelings hurt. Because guess what? Sin is ravaging people's lives, and it's hard to hear that they need a Savior. But after they leave you, it'll be amazing that God would take your watering and your planting, and He'll give His increase. And let me tell you this, if they don't do it on this side of earth, which would be great, they'll come to you and say, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. I got saved. But praise God, think about this. What if after you share the gospel, after you share the love of Jesus, that person gets saved in a place that you don't see, you don't hear, you don't experience, but when you're in eternity, they walk up to you and go, one, because you shared the gospel, and because God is faithful, I'm in eternity. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what's at stake. It's okay to be upset when you don't understand what God's doing. But if you'll get about God's business, it'll be a whole lot easier to deal with those situations if you'll be obedient to God. Now, the message is dealing with you this morning. We're not dealing with those people out there. We're dealing with the people in here this morning. And I don't care. I'm about to ruin everything we're doing here this morning probably. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you've joined this church. I don't care if you're on every roll there is. If God deals with your heart this morning about salvation, you run up here to this altar and get saved. You get saved right where you're at. I don't care if you've been a councilman. I don't care if you've been a preacher. I don't care if you've been a singer. This morning, God wants to save people right where they're at. Sometimes we think if we'll do all the mechanical stuff in church, then we'll be all right. There is only one thing that's going to make you all right, whether you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if we have to spend the rest of the day on these altars leading people to Jesus Christ, that will be the greatest day ever. Because God dropped this in my spirit, we're going to have a lot of people that go to hell because they hang out at Flat Top Church, but they don't know Jesus. We love that you're here. We love that you're experiencing fellowship and the presence of God, but we want you to know Him. That way, one day when you're laying on your deathbed looking at the ceiling, you can look over to your loved ones and say, don't worry about me, because without a shadow of a doubt, I know where I'm going. My last breath will be the last breath on this side, but you will see me again in eternity. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11 starts with this, and I'm going to really preach this, guys, to you. I'm going to go fast. It's not going to be a long sermon, but it's going to be a powerful one, I hope. Verse 11 starts, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. That much people right there, underline and put a note right there, that's a big crowd. Amen? That's a big crowd. That's a crowd of people. Okay, so there was a crowd of people that was walking with Jesus. There was the disciples, and there were a crowd of people that are walking with Jesus. Okay, I want you to hear this morning. There's a crowd of people. They're following Jesus. They're following life. Amen? It's not as big as a crowd that is not following Jesus, but it's a crowd nonetheless. Amen? And that crowd has life leading it, joy leading it, happy leading it, blessings leading it. It has absolute hope, peace, and joy leading it. And they're following. Is there anybody in here that's in the crowd of Jesus and He's leading you this morning? Amen? That crowd's coming into town. But then He meets a group in verse 9. Now when they came nigh to the city, the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Underline that part right there, much people. There was another crowd. There was another crowd. Let me talk to yourself right here. There's another crowd. You know what they're following? They're following death. They're following death. They're going in the wrong direction. Some of you sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, I have no doubt with a crowd this side, you are going in the wrong direction. You are following death. You are on the footsteps of death. You're heading in that wrong direction. But praise God, I love to tell you this morning, I love the truth of this. God is about to give an intersection with you. He is about to meet you this morning. He's passing by your death march with His life march. Amen. He's coming by you right now. And yes, you are headed to death, hell, and destruction. But life and joy and peace and love and forgiveness is coming by. Praise God, it's coming by, and you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice. Do you want to continue on the path of death and destruction, or do you want to get on the path of life and joy and peace and love? And man, there's a soul forgiveness. There is a lightness to God. There is a peace that passes all understanding. And Jesus is meeting this crowd, and those two crowds, when they meet, it's like oil and water. Amen. Here comes this crowd. Can you see them with your spiritual eye right now? Can you see them as they're meeting right at the city gate? Man, praise God, I see the look on some of your faces. You're meeting them right now too. You know right now life is miserable. It's hard. You don't know what you're going to do next. You've tried to fit in. You've tried to hook up. You've tried to put in, put out everything you can to fit in this world, and you are miserable. You make it look good, amen? You say the right things. You show the right things. You post the right things. But praise God, it ain't really going on like that for you. When you're alone by yourself, you're miserable. And here comes Jesus. Could He be the answer? Could He be the answer? There was a little widow woman. She had lost her husband, and now she lost her son. She was desperate. Has anybody in this room ever been desperate? Some of y'all need to get desperate for Jesus. Amen. Some of y'all need to let on. You need to stop worrying about the person to your left and right and what they think about you and how they consider you. Man, this woman was desperate. She had lost her husband. Now she lost her son, her only son. She had no hope. She had nothing. She was miserable in a crowd. You ever been miserable in a crowd? Everybody else seems like they're happy. Everybody's trying to say the right thing and do the right thing. But on the inside, you're sitting there just tore up. There's about five or six people in this room right here. There's a crowd of people that are in there, and you think, man, they're all right. But you are not all right. I mean, you are tore up. Things have happened to you. Things are going on in your life. You are miserable and unhappy, and you wish you could get up right now and say, God, I need you. That woman was walking to bury her own son, had buried her own husband, and she's broken to pieces. But God's coming her way. I wish some of you this morning would stop with a pretense. Talk about, man, I go to this church or I go to that church. I wish some of you would just say, I go to church because I need a place to worship and gather with believers and a place of corporate worship. But I'm in love with Jesus. If I was in a room by myself, if I was locked away in a prison cell by myself, I would still lift my hands and say, God's good. If I was in a hospital room by myself, I would say, God is good. I'd find a place to worship, amen? I would find a place to touch Him because He's touched me. This little old woman's broken into pieces, and she's on her way to the death march, and here comes Jesus leading this group of people. It seems like they're about crazy and wild-eyed like some of us. And they're starting to meet the casket, and I love this right here. Y'all all right with 13? Look at 13 with me. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Amen. Has God ever spoke something into your spirit that wasn't going on in your world? No. Let me say that again. Has God ever spoke something in your spirit that wasn't going on in your world? You know what He does? He's got to get your head out before He gets your heart out. He's got to get your head and heart out before He gets your body out. Some of y'all got saved and born again, but your body was still operating on the wrong side of the world. Amen? But guess what? If He'll get your head out, you can start seeing it in your mind before your actions. She's broken. She's desperate. She's mourning. She's grieving. Some of you in this very room are broken, grieving, hurting people, and you look good on the outside. At the funeral, you'll be numb. I don't know if y'all have had the experience. Many times you go to the funeral, you're going to be numb. Somebody's going to wonder why you aren't crying so much. You're going to wonder why you didn't cry so much. You're going to sit there and go through the whole funeral. You're going to go through the whole death. You're going to be sitting there going, man, I thought I cared more. I thought I loved more. I thought I was more invested in this. What's going on with me? That's just shock. About 3 or 4 weeks, people will say all the things they need to say, right and wrong. In about a month, month and a half, all of a sudden it'll hit you like a ton of bricks that you've lost everything and you don't know where to find it and you're hurting. And God's right there. That's where there's a great place of God meeting people. Some of y'all are sitting here right in this place. Y'all look good on the outside, but man, God needs to do a lot of work on the inside. A lot of work on the inside. He looks at her and weep not. God, don't. It'd be all right every once in a while just to be real. Sometimes God makes me mad when he says stuff that's contrary to what's going on in my life. Weep not. I bet she felt like, you be quiet, you don't know me. Amen? Is there any women in here? Is there anybody? You don't tell me what to do. You don't know my situation. Can I remind you of something? I've lost my husband. Can I remind you of something else? That's my only son right there. And I love my son more than I love anything. That's my life. God, I wish y'all'd help me. There goes my life. Everything that I've loved, everything that I've cared about is walking away from me. Weep not. Who are you talking to? God will come along when you're hurting at your most and say some things that are so contrary to you, you won't even know how to swallow it. Some of y'all are sitting in this very room and you're like, I was coming here to do this and God's all over me. Why? Because that's God. I was praying before you got here that God would deal with your heart, shake your life to the core, and you wouldn't have a church experience, that you would have a God experience. That you would walk out of here and say, no, that's not a good preacher. No, that's not a good singer. No, they didn't have a great service. God is good. Everything they did was because God's good. Weep not. He's changing her mind. He's changing her mind. Some of y'all need to have your heart and your mind changed. You're hearing so much. The world's going under. The world's coming to an end. Man, there's a war brewing. Oh, man, this could end to this. We can end up with this and that. Praise God. When's the last time you looked up to God and said, oh, Jesus, reveal unto me who you are. You know what God told me in my spirit? He said, Kevin, ain't it amazing? You live in such an awesome time. It's the darkest time in history, and I've set you there with a light on to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Either you can be on fire for me, or you can sit in a corner and be worried to death. I choose to stoke up the fire of God. While everything else is burning and going down, I'm going to be on this mountain sharing the love of Jesus Christ with everybody God gives us the opportunity with. And I'm starting to hear it slowly come in already just in the month of February. What's going on that mountain? What's happening up there? What are y'all doing? What's happening? I'm saying, God's a-moving. That's what's happening. He stoked our hearts, turned our hearts towards our community. The only thing that's going to change our world and our country is people get saved. And the only way we're going to get them saved, it's if God's people will say, I no longer care about myself. I care about souls. This whole thing in the Ukraine should wake some of you people up. They talked to him and they said, what do you want? Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want us to send you money? Do you want us to send prayers? You know what they tell us? We don't want you to come here. We want you to pray for us. We want you to send us money. And we want you to send us some bullets. And we are going to fight right here for our country. We're not going anywhere. This is ours. I wish the church would get a backbone like that and say, you know what? This country used to be ours. We're sitting around wanting the government to do something that only the church can do. Nobody's going to come out here and go, oh, let me show you how to do this. We need to do this. This should be an epicenter. It should be like a little bomb going off. Poof. It should sink down into Dunlap and Soddy Daisy, and people should say, I don't even know why I'm driving up on that mountain, but I believe that God's up there, and I want to be where God's at. God showed up at that funeral and tells her, weep not, changing her mind. It's one thing just to tell somebody something, then you got to follow it up with some action, right? Verse 14, and he came and he touched the bier, which is the coffin, And they that bare him stood still. And he said, wait, can I show y'all something? It's kind of a weird thought. This is where God kind of helped me out. There was a crowd, there was some guys carrying him, right? He stopped the people that were carrying the dead guy to his final resting place. He stopped the people that were carrying him. I thought, man, that's got to be a weird thing. I wonder who was carrying him. Man, let me say it this way. If you were to die today, who would be the people carrying you to your gravesite? How would the funeral go? What would be said? I thought about it. Prior to August 28th of 04, if I would have died, there would have been some people, unsavory people, at my funeral. Miss Carol, can I be honest about that? There would have been some unsavory people who probably would like to have been at my funeral. But they couldn't have shown up because they were too messed up to show up, to be honest. They would have said things like, man, he was crazy. He was wild. Man, he's full of pride. He could do this and that. But I think about it now. Man, the funeral would be a whole lot different after I got saved. It would just be a whole bunch of broken people who do make it to the funeral to say, one broken man told me about a man who put him back together. One beggar who just told a room full of beggars how to get bread. I thought about my dad passing away. He got saved when he was 36 years old. When he died, if he had died before 36, his funeral would have been a disaster. I know for a shadow, without a shadow of a doubt, two sons wouldn't have been there. Bitter, angry, blaming, criticizing everything he did. And he did a lot wrong, but we put a lot more on him than he belonged to him. But he got saved at 36. And when he died, he had two nephews that carried him to his final resting place. Two grandsons, sorry. And I thought that was awesome. But there were four other guys there. You know who they were? We were at the funeral, and these guys that were in recovery at Miracle Lake come to me and said, your dad has spoken to our lives more times than we can even count, and it would be a great honor if we could help carry your dad to his gravesite. And I sat there and watched. Once drunken men, once broken men, carry a once drunken, broken man to his final resting place. If you get saved, the people that carry you will change. The funeral will change. The words will change. Your life will change. Because so many times, at the end of life, we'll say, who are we going to get to preach the funeral? I hate to tell you this. I really have never preached anybody's funeral. I have preached at funerals. But you're preaching your own funeral. Now. And you're telling the whole world, whether if you love Jesus and you love God and you love other people or you love yourself. I love what he says in 14. He says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Just like that dead man there in that casket, some of y'all are spiritually dead. And what Jesus is doing right now in some of y'all's lives, he's touching in you. He's saying, hey, arise. Wake up. Come alive. He touched that dead man and he said, get up. Young man, get up. Young lady, get up. Get up out of your sin. Get up out of your death. Get up out of it right now in the name of Jesus. Get up out of that. You know what he did? He rose up out of that casket. He's sick. Could you imagine? I mean, they had this guy 10 yards from the burying ground, and now he's sitting up talking. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. I wonder what he said. Ma'am, I would like to reintroduce you to your son. He's made whole. Amen? I would like to reintroduce you. Well, I'm going to finish right here. Let's all stand. Watch this. I would like to reintroduce you to your son. She's so excited. She's on fire. She's shouting the glory, praising God. But guess what happened, guys? Can I go ahead and tell you the end of the story? This guy died. He did. He died. You know what his second funeral looked like? This was the guy who was headed in the wrong direction. It was almost too late. But Jesus. But Jesus stopped the funeral. God's stopping somebody's funeral this morning. Stopped the funeral. And Jesus touched him. Would it be awesome if somebody could say, I can remember the day when Jesus touched him and she became a living soul for Jesus. He became a living soul for Jesus. Just one touch. And he came up out of that death. Remember that? Seems just like it was yesterday. I wonder if the mom or if anybody that was at the funeral were looking around to see if Jesus was going to show up a second time. Gary, I wonder if they were like, I wonder if it'll happen again. But I bet that guy would say this as he was about to take his last breaths. Maybe, Gary, maybe this. I don't need Jesus to come by again. He did all the work the first time. And because he touched me, I'll go into eternity and see him for eternity. I'm so glad that I allowed God to touch me and change me. Guys, I don't know who all's here this morning, where your condition is with the Lord, but some of y'all are riding on a profession instead of possession. You're still operating the same way you were, if not worse, than you were when you say that you got saved. I wish some of you this morning would come and say, you know what? I need to talk to Jesus. And maybe in the middle of that talking to Jesus, you'll end up repenting and asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life, or you'll ask him to forgive you of being cold and distant and backslidden on him. We've got plenty of time this morning. So when Scott comes and gets a song, as he starts playing or singing, you start doing business with Jesus.